two of John's disciples heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And from then on, they followed Jesus. That means John lost that day at least two disciples. So if he needed to get a lot more work done, he's going to have to find some extra help because two of them are gone. John lost two disciples that day, and he wanted to lose more.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts. As we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. The first disciples follow Jesus as our study of John continues in chapter 1, verse 35. Here's Pastor Bob.
John said, "I didn't know him," verse 31. "I did not know him." He knew Messiah was among them, but he didn't know who it was. He said, "I did not know him, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water." And John, verse 32, bear record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode or stayed upon him." He's talking about Jesus Christ. "And I did not know him," again, he says in verse 33, "I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize," God, "that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, 'Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost.'" And there, verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." He saw the Spirit of God come down upon Jesus Christ and remain there. Jesus came up out of the water and the Spirit came upon him and stayed. And John said, they're cousins. Remember, Jesus and John are cousins. But I didn't know who the Messiah was until the sign God told me to look for. Last time we got together, I mentioned to you, there are all kinds of signs God has told you and me to look for, Christians, that point to the end. We should be recognizing those signs. "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." This who? This Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God Almighty in human flesh. We go to verse 35 and start up there. "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples," so the next day after John stood, or was standing there, and two of his disciples, "and looking upon Jesus as he walked," the language means as he was walking by, "he said," John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He already said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," right? Now he just says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples heard him say that, and they followed Jesus. On another day, after Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was there with at least two of his disciples. I don't know how many were there, but with his disciples, at least two. And Jesus walks past them, or you know, not like right in front. I'm sure he would have said, "Yo, guys," but he probably a distance, there goes Jesus. And John, as Jesus is passing by, he says to his disciples, get this, he had already called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today he says this to his disciples, "Behold," let me put that in American, "look," even better yet, "take special notice." Hey, everybody, drop what you're doing, stop what you're thinking, and look, take special notice, contemplate, think about the Lamb of God. There he goes. Think about it. Take special note of Jesus. What does that mean? You know what it means to you and me? Or should mean? Take note as we go verse by verse through this gospel. Take note of the way he lives while he's here on this earth. He was here for 33 years, a little over 33 years. He was in public ministry for 3.5 years. That's all. He did what the Father sent him to do, and he took care of the needs of everybody else. Contemplate, behold, that's what the word means, behold. Take special note at his ways as you walk with him. Two of John's disciples, I don't know how many were there, but two of them heard John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God. And from then on, they followed Jesus. That means John lost that day at least two disciples. So if he needed to get a lot more work done, he's going to have to find some extra help because two of them are gone. John is not here to have people follow him. Get it? He's not. He's here so that people will follow Jesus. Why are we here? I'm going to have to answer it truthfully someday. What do we want? Build a ministry somewhere? Is that what you want? That's what John's heart's all about. That's what mine should be about. It's what yours should be about. We are not building our own kingdom. We are not here to get a title. People say to me, what should I call you? How about Bob? Are you really wanting a bigger church? John's teaching us. We're not here to build a Bible study where people are following you and me. So look at verse 38. These two, they just follow after Jesus. They go, they're watching him walk, and they just walk right behind him. Now, that's kind of cute. Get the picture. Jesus is walking along. Now, Jesus is God. He knows exactly what's going on behind him. But they're probably 15, 20, 30 feet away, and look what we see. Verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them follow. They were walking behind him at a little bit of a distance, I'm sure, walking. That's the Messiah. That's God in human flesh. Wow, he just looks like some dude. And they're probably talking to each other and watching him, seeing what he's doing. And Jesus turned around. Let me read it. Jesus turned and saw them. This is verse 38. And saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? What a cool question. I think Jesus is asking you and me right now the very same question, now that he brings it up. Can you answer it? What are you looking for? I've worked with quite a few tough people in my life, and get bad guys and you're going to arrest them. And they have the attitude like, you're just looking at them and they go, what are you looking at? I always say, I haven't got a clue. Give me a clue. What am I looking at here? I think of a word that crosses my mind, but it might offend you, so you tell me what I'm looking at. See, that's my attitude. Of course, I'm carrying bazookas and chains and knives and things. I could just pull out everything and use it, so. What are you looking for? Jesus turned and saw them following him, saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is means master or teacher, where do you live? Or where are you staying? I love that. He saith unto them, come and see. I'll show you. They came and they saw where he was staying and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, this is Jesus, all right? He's God Almighty. But understand, they don't quite know what that means yet. They don't know very much at all. They've got a lot to learn. This is the first day they've seen him. And when John said, behold, the Lamb of God, they went after him. Well, that's who we're waiting for. That's the Messiah. That's what, yeah, we're going. And John had said, come on, man, I need your help. Hey, come on, dudes. No, go for it. Follow that guy. Watch him. Learn. What a great question Jesus asked. They're walking behind him, and I love it. He knows it, so he just turns around, and he just looks right at their faces. And the idea is this. You can say it a couple different ways. What's seeking? Well, what are you looking for? It's almost like you could say, may I help you? It's weird people following you down the street. What are you seeking for? You could also say it, what are you after? Think about this. So some of the people are going to come to Jesus looking for him to help them with their bills. And you see it quite often. And almost everyone has financial troubles once in a while and can't pay. And they'll say, I need Jesus. What for? Because I need someone to pay my bills. True? Or I'm sick. I'm really sick and I just need to get healed. I can't afford a doctor. You know, so they're looking for Jesus. What are you looking for? What are you after? Jesus asks them. Some come looking for a handout, just a handout. And you watch as Jesus walks by people. Many of them are just looking for a handout, just something, whatever you can dump in the little sack here or the little kettle or my little hat, whatever. You know, just need some help, right? We're trying to live. One of the disciples for sure, but many people did, came to Jesus looking to hook up with him so they could overthrow the powers that be, overthrow the Roman government. Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, all he wanted was to get Rome out and get himself a good position in the government that would be taken over. He was never a believer. What are you looking for? I'm looking for, if you're the one, I'm hoping you are, I'm looking for you to kick Rome out. I'll help you. What do you need? Well, the point I think is this. Many come to Jesus looking to be benefited somehow. Come to Jesus looking for what I can get out of him. Maybe it's peace of mind. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Who knows what people come to Jesus for? When I start walking toward him, he turned and looked at me and said, what do you need? I said, I don't even know what I need. I'm lost and I want to go to heaven. That's what I need. I want. And he saved me that day. He washed me clean. He saved you, remember? Humbly admitting, I don't know what I need. The list is too long. I am an absolute mess. Anything you can think of, I'll take it. Coming to Jesus to see how he can benefit me or what I can get. And I think some people play that game and come to church. Well, my life is a mess. I'm in trouble with the law. The law says either I'm going to go to jail for 3 straight months or I can go to church and have the pastor sign a bulletin each week showing that I'm there. And I say, oh, well, what are you doing here? I have no choice. It's either here or jail. I go, well, that's God, whatever it takes. But then as soon as they get over, you don't see them anymore. They're gone. It's too boring. Got to go find something cool. What are you looking for, everybody? You need to be in the Word. You need to be in fellowship. Find it and stay there. Jesus says, what are you after? What are you seeking? You know what they were after? They wanted to know him. They just wanted to know him. You know why? Because the guy that had been teaching them the Bible said, there he is. Learn about that guy. Behold him. Keep your eyes on him. Learn. And they just start following him. What do you need? These two disciples, instead of saying, what can we get from you? These two disciples, we learn later on, by the way, one of them is John and one of them is Andrew. But they answer him, and maybe they're caught off guard, but it could be something else. I think it's probably something else. But they say, Rabbi. Now, that is, the word means master, or you could say teacher. Where do you live? I think the language translated into American is, where are you staying? Some suggest that they were caught off guard when he turned around and said, what are you looking for? What do you need? that they didn't know what to say. So they said, I don't know, I'm just wondering where you live. I don't think that's happening at all. I think what it looks like is they may have been caught off guard, but some suggest this, and this is kind of the way I lean also. When they said that, what they were saying was, this may not be a good time. So if you could tell us where you're staying, then we could maybe find a time and come and talk with you. So the idea isn't, they didn't know what to say. The idea was, we don't know what to say. We'd like to talk to you. Where are you staying? Let us know, and maybe we could come by later or something. That's kind of the heart or the language there. Now, Jesus just said this. You want to know where I'm staying? Well, come on, walk with me. Let's go. I'll show you. Come and see. Now, if John is using the Roman time, which he does quite often in his letter here in his gospel, if he's using Roman time, that means it was about 10-ish in the morning, and they spent the rest of the day. So from around 10-ish in the morning to the late afternoon, they hung out with Jesus. Would you have loved to have been there? There's a couple of times that I just catch myself going, oh, Lord, I would have loved. Wouldn't you have loved to have walked with Jesus and listened from Moses all the way through to his death and resurrection? What a cool study that would have been. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed Jesus was named Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Well, what a coincidence, huh? The first thing he did after spending that afternoon, that day with Jesus, the first thing he did is finds his own brother Simon, Andrew does, and says to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, the anointed one, Mashiach. And verse 42, he brought Peter to Jesus. Andrew is a cool guy because he's one of the disciples you don't hear much from. But, you know, he brings people to Jesus. He brought his brother first. He had to go get Peter, he's called Simon. And he goes, you got to come and see. We found the Messiah. You're kidding. Really? You believe that? Yeah. You got to come and see us. Spent the afternoon, the day with him yesterday. Come and look. And when Jesus beheld Simon, this is what he said to him. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. Takes from me, Jesus. As soon as Jesus looks at Simon, just sees him, he's God Almighty, everybody. He knows the character of this man. He knows him instantly. Jesus said, you are Simon. Andrew didn't tell him that. In Aramaic, it's Cephas. It means stone or a rock. In Greek, it's Petros. In American, it's Peter. It means a stone or a rock. Jesus instantly named him, not watched him for 6 months and said, okay, you're kind of dopey. No, he knows his heart instantly and he knows his character instantly. Don't you know God's already given you a nickname? And it may not be what you think it is, because God knows my character. He just knows me. Beanhead is what he's been calling me, but he may have something even better than that. But Peter, you're a little rock. Simon means reed. That's a common, it was a very popular name in those days, mean reed. See, a reed has no strength in it. Whichever way the wind blows, reeds go that way too. Whichever way the water moves, reeds in the water, if the water moves too quickly, they break. So you could call him shifty. And Jesus says, you're shifty, but I'm going to call you a rock. Not a boulder, a rock, a little small rock. How could Jesus do that? Because he knows you. He has a name for you, the Bible says. He knows you. Okay, so verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Jesus is now heading further north. Philip could have said, I don't want to. He could have said, no thanks. You know, today's a bad day for me because I've got these chores I got to get. But Philip followed Jesus. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip, what did he do? He did kind of like what Andrew did. He went and found a friend of his, Nathanael. And he said unto him, we have found him, the one Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And saying he's the son of a carpenter. We found him. We found Messiah, the one Moses prophesied about. We found him. You got to come see him. And Nathanael said to him, this is verse 46, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was the reputation of Nazareth. It's a little bitty. It's still a little bitty today, everybody. There's not much up there. You'll see a city, but when tours go through, they just drive through. You can take pictures. There's nothing to see in Nazareth still to this day, right? And so Nathanael, he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip wisely didn't answer that, just said, come and see. The idea is you come and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Come and look. Come and see. So verse 47 says this. They're coming to see Jesus. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of Nathanael. Now remember, they've never met. And he says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, no deceit. Now, how could you know the heart of Nathanael? You've never met him. He's God Almighty in human flesh. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to Jesus, whence knowest thou me? I've never met you. You've never met me. Well, how do you know me? How do you know me? When did you get to know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip came and talked to you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you there. Wait a minute. Was Jesus there close? No. Jesus is God Almighty. He sees you when you're sleeping. Miraculously, Jesus saw Nathanael, said, there's a guy. And he could see his heart. No deceit. And Nathanael, okay, that's good enough for Nathanael. It would be good enough for me too, I think. But it's good enough for Nathanael. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, master, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. That does it. I'm convinced. And Jesus answered and said, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You shall see greater things than these. You ain't seen nothing yet. And he said to him, saith unto him, truly, truly, I say unto you, Nathanael, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Whoa. I like Nathanael because he's kind of a wise guy. Oh yeah, Nazareth, right. You're saying God, the Son of God, God in human flesh comes out of Nazareth. He goes, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Okay, well come and look. I'm telling you, wherever you are today, wherever I am, wherever you are, Jesus sees right where we are. There's no need in pretending that you're something that you're not, because he knows what I am. He knows what you are. We can't play games with him like we like to do, because he knows. Jesus Christ is really God. I think that, honestly, if you would watch, if you would pay attention to what's happening to you and the things that go on in your life, you will see that he's working. You'll see things that he's doing.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.